House will come to order. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Today is February the 9th, 2015, the 20th day of the session. Today is the last day for Committee of the Whole in the House of Origin. So those bills, if there are any that don't that aren't debated and acted on in Committee of the Whole by the end of the day, die. Tomorrow is the last day for bills on second reading. Wednesday is the last day for bills on third reading. And also, just be advised that Wednesday will be the first day for the budget and presentation in Committee of the Whole. One other announcement, the black and white printer is broken again. There's a sign on it that says, don't mess with this printer. The sign means what it means. Apparently, some people think they can change the paper in it, but if it's done incorrectly, it breaks the sensor. So go and get some help when we get the black and white printer back online. Just tell them it's not working, please. The clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Here.
Baker.
Here.
Baldwin.
Here.
Barlow.
Here.
Berger. Blackburn. Blackburn. Blake.
Here.
Burkhart.
Here.
Bird.
Here.
Campbell.
Here.
Kennedy.
Here.
Clem.
Here.
Connolly.
Here.
Dayton.
Here.
Edmonds.
Here.
Edwards.
Here.
Eklund.
Here.
Esquivel.
Here.
Freeman.
Here.
Gay.
Here.
Greer.
Here.
Halverson.
Here.
Harshman.
Here.
Harvey.
Here.
Hunt.
Here.
Yagi.
Here.
Jennings.
Here.
Kasparik,
here.
Kirkbride,
here.
Croker,
here.
Crone,
here.
Larson Lloyd,
here.
Larson Dan,
here.
Lindholm,
here.
Lockhart,
here.
Laux,
here.
Madden,
here.
McKim,
here.
Miller,
here.
Moniz,
here.
Nicholas Northrup,
here.
Patton,
here.
Paxton,
here.
Pelkey,
here.
Petrov,
here.
Pipirinen,
excused.
Pipirinen excused, Pinnell, Reeder,
here.
Schwartz,
here.
Summers,
here.
Steinmetz,
here.
Stubson,
here.
Throne,
excused.
Throne excused, Walters,
here.
Wilson,
here.
Winters,
here.
Swanitzer Dan,
here.
Swanitzer Dave,
here.
Mr. Speaker,
here.
Blackburn,
here.
Nicholas,
here.
Nicholas excused, 57 present, 3 excused.
The prayer for the day is offered by the Reverend Rick Veit, representing St. Mark's Episcopal Church.
I didn't prepare a prayer for the printer, but perhaps we should have one today. Just kidding. Instead, I'll offer a prayer for those that influence public opinion. Let us pray. Almighty God, you proclaim your truth in every age by many voices. Direct in our time, we pray, those who speak where many listen and write what many read, that they may do their part in making the heart of this people wise, its mind sound, and its will righteous, to the honor and glory of your name and for the welfare of all people. Amen.
Will you join me in the pledge of
allegiance? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Play ball!
Thank you.
Journal Committee Report. Your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February 6, 2015 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Signed by Representative Steinmetz and Schwartz. Representative Lindholm.
Mr. Speaker, privilege.
Please proceed.
To the members of the 63rd, I'd like to introduce my youngest daughter, Lillian, who's right here, and she's 7 years old and is in the second grade of the Sundance Elementary up in the northeast corner of the state, and she's really proud to be here and be your guys' honorary page for half a day, Lillian.
Representative Kirkbride.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
I'm proud to introduce in the North Gallery some of my family that have never been here during my tenure. My son, Nick Westerman, from Austin, Texas. My son, Jeremy Westerman, from Sioux Falls, South Dakota. My son-in-law, Tom Craner's up in the back holding the small constituent. And I also, though I think she's fairly well-known, my wife, who just had a big birthday yesterday, and Lynn, she's here too. Thank you.
Representative Conley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Yes, please.
I'd like to introduce to the body the wonderful Deb Healy Hammonds, who served in this body for several years on the Appropriations Committee, and have her come to the floor and say a hello, if that's okay.
It is okay. Please.
Yay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker and I were freshmen together, and so that tells you something about our longevity. I want to congratulate all of you for being elected, but more than that, I want to thank all of you for serving this state that we all love, and I want to remind you, as I'm sure that each of you, when you're going to sleep and you're away from your family and friends and communities and business and making money, all of those things that we think about when we're away, that every one of your constituents can never fully understand the sacrifice that you've made, but I do, and many of us who've served here on this floor understand it. Thank you for your courage, and remember, what will your grandchildren or those people in the future think of what you do here today and every day? Thank you very much.
You got one? Representative Blake.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor.
Yes, please proceed.
I think I might need two, but first of all, today is my wife's birthday. She's not here today, and I just wanted to say over the internet, happy birthday, Terry June. I love you very much.
Oh.
And second of all, in the South Gallery, we have some educators from Green River and Rock Springs. I'll introduce them all. We'll give them a big hand. We have a parent and her son also. So we have Cindy Branjord, Sandy Bowling, Madeline Trujillo-Hamill, Emily Sorensen, Carrie Gross, Ed DeCastro, Kevin Harper, and a parent, Sarah Swigert, and her son, Brandon. Please welcome them to the house.
Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I have a very special person for you to meet here today. His name is Karsten, and he's my best buddy. He can spell his name, and he can write his name, and he can read, and he can count to 100, or even if you want, he can count to 1,000. And the good thing about him, Mr. Speaker, is he can't wait to take his first pause test. He brought his mother with him, who is my daughter, and they're right up there waving at you. Her name is Jessica, so welcome Karsten and Jessica.
Representative Larson.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I'd like to introduce from my area and Representative Northrop's area some school board members that have come down and our superintendent. It's Lisa Barris and Greg Borcher and Superintendent Kevin Mitchell.
Representative Northrop.
Privilege of the floor, please.
Please, proceed.
Thank you. Would the previous school board members and superintendent please stand again? Because Powell's done some great things. We have three elementary schools in our town. All three of them are listed as Blue Ribbon Schools. One of them, with a Title I population of 40% or greater, is listed in America's Best Public Elementary Schools as number 24. Give them another round, please.
Representative Paxton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Yes, please proceed.
From Carbon County School District number 2, we have our superintendent, Jim Copeland, right up here. We have Kaylin Palm, school board member. We have Diana Berger and Jimmy Hinkle. Please help me welcome.
Representative Cohn.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Yes, please proceed.
Ladies and gentlemen of the 63rd, please introduce a couple of great teachers that came down from Park County, Penny Boyles and Kim Ludi. So give them a big hand. Welcome to the House.
Representative Allen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege?
Yes, please. Proceed.
Thank you. I'd like to, in the West Balcony Gallery, I'd like to welcome Bruce Palmer, Fremont County School District number 1 school board member. Thank you.
Chairman Petroff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Yes, please.
In the South Gallery, I'd like to introduce my husband, former mayor of Jackson, and driver of my dogs, Mark Barron.
Where's the dog? Okay, anybody else? Are we good? The doctor of the day is David Fall from Gillette. Please welcome him to the House. We're at that order of Senate files on first reading. The first file for our consideration is Senate File 18. The reading clerk will read the file.
Senate File 18 from Senator Case, an act relating to criminal procedure.
Senate File 18 is referred to Judiciary Committee Number 1. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 38.
Senate File 38 from Senator Case, an act relating to controlled substances.
Senate File 38 is referred to Judiciary Committee Number 1. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 94.
Senate File 94 from Senator Christensen, an act relating to driving or having control of a vehicle while under the influence of intoxicating liquor.
Senate File 94 is referred to Judiciary Committee Number 1. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 106.
Senate File 106 from Senator Landon, an act relating to alcoholic beverages.
Senate File 106 is referred to Judiciary Committee Number 1. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 93.
Senate File 93 from Senator Anderson, an act relating to gasoline taxes.
Senate File 93 is referred to Revenue Committee Number 3. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 46.
Senate File 46 from Senator Geis, an act relating to crimes and offenses.
Senate File 46 is referred to Agriculture Committee Number 5. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 55.
Senate File 55 from the Select Water Committee, an act relating to water development projects.
Senate File 55 is referred to Agriculture Committee Number 5. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 80.
Senate File 80 from Senator Hicks, an act relating to trade and commerce.
Senate File 80 is referred to Agriculture Committee Number 5. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 126.
Senate File 126 from Senator Hicks, an act relating to water quality.
Senate File 126 is referred to Agriculture Committee Number 5. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 6.
Senate File 6 from Senator Burns, an act relating to aquatic invasive species.
Senate File 6 is referred to Travel, Recreation, and Wildlife Committee Number 6. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 63.
Senate File 63 from Senator Anderson, an act relating to predatory animals.
Senate File 63 is referred to Travel, Recreation, and Wildlife Committee Number 6. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 103.
Senate File 103 from Senator Scott, an act relating to the separation of bicycles and motor vehicle traffic on state highways and other roads.
Senate File 103 is referred to Travel, Recreation, and Wildlife Committee Number 6. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 105.
Senate File 105 from Senator Hicks, an act relating to game and fish.
Senate File 105 is referred to Travel, Recreation, and Wildlife Committee Number 6. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 81.
Senate File 81 from Senator Johnson, an act relating to public health.
Senate File 81 is referred to Transportation Committee Number 8. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 97.
Senate File 97 from Senator Meyer, an act relating to telecommunications.
Senate File 97 is referred to Transportation Committee Number 8. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 84.
Senate File 84 from Senator Van Flattern, an act relating to geological sequestration.
Senate File 84 is referred to Minerals Committee Number 9. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 92.
Senate File 92 from Senator Coe, an act relating to workers' compensation.
Senate File 92 is referred to Minerals Committee Number 9. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 117.
Senate File 117 from Senator Bebout, an act relating to environmental quality.
Senate File 117 is referred to Minerals Committee Number 9. Reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom is referred Senate File 5, engrossed Quebec Number 1, Historical Site 3, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baldwin, Barlow, Clem, Freeman, Kirkbride, Larson, Petroff, Schwartz, and Steinmetz. Signed by Representative Petroff, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom is referred Senate File 22, Landfill Remediation Priority List, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Byrd, Kennedy, Edmonds, Gay, Kasparic, Larson, Lockhart, Summers, and Walters. Signed, Representative Lockhart, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom is referred Senate File 26, Challenge Loan Interest Rate, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Byrd, Kennedy, Gay, Kasparic, Larson, Lockhart, Somers, Walters. One no vote, Representative Edmonds, signed by Representative Lockhart, Chairman.
Re-referrals. Chairman Petroff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move to re-refer Senate File 5 to Committee Number 2, Appropriations.
Senate File 5 is re-referred to Appropriations Committee Number 2, Chairman Lockhart.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your Committee Number 9 would like to re-refer Senate File 26 to your Committee Number 2, Appropriations.
Senate File 26 is re-referred to Appropriations Committee Number 2. We're now at that order of business of bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 163. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 163 from Representative Hunt, an act relating to public health.
House Bill 163, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 174. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 174 from Representative Walters, an act relating to nicotine products.
There is an amendment. Representative Lindholm.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to move second reading amendment number one. And the reason behind this amendment is some of the topics that we went over before during the Committee of the Whole regarding the fines and regarding the enactment on when this would be deemed illegal. My worry is that we pass this law and all of a sudden across the state of Wyoming we're going to have retailers that are all of a sudden criminals without them knowing it. There's nothing in this bill stating that the Department of Ag would have to actually notify these places of retail that they're actually breaking the law all of a sudden. They just find out when the Department of Ag shows up at their doorstep and says, well, here's a fee for this one, here's a fee for that one. And I don't think that's quite fair. So as you can see on page 4, line 7, before all we insert, on and after January 1st, 2018, I think that gives a credible amount of time for these retailers to get their items in order and get these child-proof caps in place or make sure that all their products are within compliance. On page 4, line 17, we delete $750 and insert $100. That kind of goes hand-in-hand with what a minor in possession of tobacco is right now. So it's more of along the same lines. Page 4, line 18, we delete $1,005. And page 4, line 19, we insert $750. So it changes those fees around and also gives time for these retailers to come in compliance without all of a sudden being hit with fines. Thank you.
Discussion on the amendment. Representative Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would strongly encourage you to resist this amendment. First, on the date of enactment, all of our bills, or principally all of our bills, are enacted the 1st of July of each year. So it's incumbent upon all businesses and all individuals to realize that the 1st of July each year, we do have new laws coming into effect. And so it's nothing unusual to have that as an enacting date. Furthermore, they're buying lids anyhow to put these products out the door. We're just having them change those to a child-proof container. Getting that done is a very easy process. We're giving them 5 or 6 months right now to get that in place, so it's very easy for them to get done. So the 1st of July this coming year is just fine. I don't think we need to change that date. As far as the fines go, those fines that are in the bill as it is are the exact same fines that an entity is fined when they are found in violation of other acts from the Department of Ag in terms of the Consumer Health Services Division. So what you need to remember is this is not you as an individual walking down the street with a container that is not childproof. We're talking about the entities selling these and selling them with lids that are not childproof. And so I would encourage you to resist this amendment.
Anyone else for their first time? Reps, Chairman, Zwanitz, or Dan?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to divide the amendment, if that's possible, with lines 1 through 4 being Division 1 and lines 5 through 14 being Division 2.
The chair rules that the amendment is divisible. Which division would you care to proceed on, Representative or Chairman Zwanzer?
Mr. Speaker, if Division 1, if that would be okay. And
that is okay. We're on Division 1, which is lines 1 through 4 of second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 174, Chairman Zwanzer, Dan.
And Mr. Speaker, I don't have any better argument than what was previously stated by the bill's floor manager, and so I would also ask you to resist Division number 1, but support division number 2.
Anyone else wish to be heard on division number 1? Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I'd just like to reiterate that this amendment, give these folks some time to actually come in with compliance instead of slapping a statute down that all of a sudden they have to become compliant in, and no notification given in this bill to these retailers, no heads up, no warning whatsoever, the way this bill is written right now. And I think it behooves us to give them some warning, give them some time to come within compliance. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time on Division 1 to second reading amendment number 1? Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the first division of this amendment, quite frankly, I think it's kind of ridiculous to begin with. If I were to have a can of chew, I used to chew back when I was in high school, illegally, mind you, and then legally, and I'm glad I quit this stuff. But if you take a can of chew, that can of chew is not childproof. You get a pack of cigarettes, that pack of cigarettes is not childproof. And here we are trying to regulate an industry by saying that you have to make that little vial of nicotine childproof. And it's excessive regulation. So I'm really not in support of the bill at all because of some of these issues. But this amendment at least does make it a little bit better because it doesn't hurt the businesses as much. So on and for the amendment and really against the bill. Thanks.
Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I support this amendment and, like the previous speaker, am against the bill. But I wonder if we've taken into consideration the fact that many of these stores, producers, might already have quite an extensive inventory. And I think to allow them some time to use up the existing inventory, convert to the new requirements is... It's just the right thing to do for our small businesses.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, if a child picks up a package of cigarettes and opens it and breaks them up and makes a mess on the floor, it's a mess on the floor. If a child opens a vial of this product and says, oh, I wonder what this is, and tastes it, it's lethal. It's lethal. Children have died from this. What are we thinking? Children have died from this. I would think that we'd want to put effective immediately, and I think that a July 1st date is enough time to reduce your inventory. I mean, smoking a pack of cigarettes is only lethal if you do it for years and years and years. But one vial, one child... I'm on and against the amendment.
Anyone else for the first time? Anyone for their second time prior to the sponsor? Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It comes down to personal responsibility. Folks, parents are responsible for their actions. If a parent goes to one of these stores and gets a vial of liquid and puts it in their vaporizer, they're responsible. You know, they can take that thing home and they don't have to have that childproof lid on there. And accidents can still occur. But what this bill does is it regulates an industry, and it's just more regulation. When we don't have those same regulations existing right now in other tobacco products. Again, a can of chew. We didn't mention a can of chew just a moment ago, but a kid can get a can of chew and take it. Maybe it's wintergreen flavor, and boy, that kind of smells good. Put it in their mouth and eat it, and they're going to get awfully sick. But the point is it comes down to personal responsibility on the part of the consumer and the part of the parent, and letting free enterprise do its thing. You know what? If a business finds it incumbent upon themselves, you know, they're going to make more money to put these childproof lids on there, and they make more money doing it, then that's all great and well and good, and let them do that. But if not, let's not hinder businesses. Thank you.
Anyone else for the second time before the sponsor? Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I understand the argument that it is a dangerous product to children, and I'm not going to refute that. I'm not going to deny that, and I would like to see them go to child-proof caps. However, there's no provision in this bill to give these retailers any warning whatsoever. And I would ask you to pass Division 1 of this amendment to at least give the retailers a heads up. Give them some time before all of a sudden they're going to be fined for something they might not know about. Retailers, they're not going to follow this. I mean, the statute isn't all of a sudden, the Department of Ag isn't going to go to each one of these retailers and say, well, hang on a sec, folks, you're about to be in a lot of trouble. Now they're going to show up on July 1st, 2015, and they're going to say, here's your fine, because that's what we've ordered them to do. So I'd ask you to give this some thought, give this Division One amendment a due pass, just so that we can give these retailers some time to become compliant. Thank you.
We're voting on Division One to second reading amendment number one to House Bill 174. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Division One fails. We're on Division Two of second reading amendment number one. Discussion. Question being called. We're voting on Division 2 to second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 174. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 74 has failed. Division being called. All those in favor of Division 2 to second reading amendment number 1, please stand. All those opposed, please stand. Like I said, House Bill 174 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. Representative, Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May I have privilege of the floor?
Yes, please.
Thank you. It's my privilege today to introduce the 2014-15 state FCCLA officers. And for those of you that are not familiar with the program, that stands for Family, Career, and Community Leaders of America, which is a national career and technical student organization that provides for personal growth and leadership. And I want to let you know that these young folks did really well last year at nationals and brought home several firsts. They're all of our folks today in the West Gallery in the red jackets. And we have standing before you President Jonathan Finch from the Glen Rock High School, Vice President Adam Jones from Burlington High School, Secretary Nathan Taylor, Mount View High School, Public Relations, Casey Kaywood from Tongue River High School, Parliamentarian Aaron Exmit from Tongue River High School. I'd like you to give them a great house welcome and thank their instructors, too. Thank you for being our future leaders.
Welcome to the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 224. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 224 from Representative Baldwin, an act relating to penalties for violating fire restrictions.
There is an amendment. Representative Larson.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. I bring this amendment forward.
Representative Larson, would you move the amendment first, please?
I move this amendment to House First Amendment.
Well, good. You're good.
I bring this amendment forward to kind of help the farmers in my area. The amendment on the first line, or first page, line 7, changes an exception to exceptions. And then on page 3, after line 12, we would insert C. And this is gives the farmers an exemption from this article if they call their local fire service prior to setting their crop residue on fire, and the fire does not enter federal lands. Later in the paragraph there it says, for purposes of this subsection, common and routine agricultural practices include open burning of crop residue on arable land after harvesting, but does not include ditch burning. And I think that was important. We don't want them to go out and burn their ditches. That can be done at a different time. The reason for bringing this is there's growers of grass seed in my area that usually combine their crop normally when these fire restrictions are in force, and that would be late July, usually early August. And the reason they're burning their crop residue after they've combined it, it's in a windrow. They do it for insects. They have problems with the insects that'll cause damage to the crop. If they can kill those, it sure helps. And also the biggest issue is probably the ease of irrigating in the flood irrigating. What happens is the water will be going down the row and it'll collect in these little residues where the dams where the residue is gathered. And so they'll have to have a guy walking that field on every set just trying to get the water to go through and get it to the bottom of the field. I did have a handout that I think you should have right now, and it's at the top. It has resolution number 2006, number 73. And this was from the Park County Commissioners in 2006. And as you can see, I circled down there I, and that actually states agricultural burns conducted on private lands with permission of local fire departments are permitted. Permission may be sought if you call, your local fire district. And that is very good deal to have. I guess my biggest worry is that you'll lose a fire warden and commissioners that work with farmers. And, once they might get elected out of office or such or resign, then you have to retrain the commissioners, It's something that is vital for the farmers in my area.
Discussion on the amendment, Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to draw everybody's attention. This is on and against, and I'd ask you to resist this amendment. There's some unintended consequences in here that I'd like to bring to your attention. On the amendment, you can see on line 8, service prior to setting the fire, and fire does not enter into federal lands managed by the United States Bureau of Land Management or Forest Service. Now turn back to subsection C on page 3 of the bill. Fire is intentionally set by a person on lands owned, and this is the important part, or under the control of the person. It's kind of goes against what the original exception says. Under the original exception, if you got leased ground, if a fire happens to break out, you're exempted under this bill versus under this new amendment. And I'd like you to resist it for that reason pretty much alone, and that's all I got.
Representative Baldwin.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm on the bill, on for the bill, and against the amendment for the reason, although the good gentleman representative notes that if you lose a county commissioner, if you lose your fire warden, that perhaps it'll need change. And I would suggest that this is a reason that we talk about a lot in here, and that's local control and in the county. And I think it's something we can talk about. I think the bill with the final exemption on that final page, on page 3, covers what we need to cover and does cover those people that need covered. If they want to burn their own place down, like I said the other day, that's a great thing if they want to do that. But I think this covers this for if it gets loose and goes somewhere else where it's going to do damage to some other property or someone else's property. And I urge you to resist the amendment.
Representative Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Rising in support of the amendment. As the bringer of the amendment has stated, this is a benefit to our area. It's what the common practice has been, to burn the fields off and clean them up, get them ready for water to run down the rows, because we have flood irrigations versus irrigation by sprinklers. And so it's a common practice, and I urge your support. Thank you.
Anyone else for the first time? Anyone for their second time before the sponsor? Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd also like to note that a lot of work has been put into this bill over the years, and for some of you, you've seen this bill come and go multiple times, and this has been thoroughly vetted with the state forestry. This has been vetted with multiple fire wardens across our great state, and I'm not sure this bill will live very much, or will live with that amendment. It's not a chance I'm willing to take. There's no exemption in statute right now during burn bans for agriculture, and I would not like to see this bill go down and us continue with no exemptions at all for our agriculture producers. Thank you.
Anyone else for the second time before the sponsor? Representative Larson.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I urge you to support this amendment. I just think it would be a lot easier than to have to go fight with your county commissioners every time this comes up. Thank you.
We're voting on second reading amendment number one to House Bill 224. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment number one to House Bill 224 has failed. House Bill 224 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 235. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 235 from Speaker Brown, an act relating to foreign corporations and foreign limited liability partnerships.
House Bill 235 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. We're now on that order of business of bills on third reading and final passage consent list. Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the consent list consisting of the following bills. House Bill 11, 197, 210, 212, 233, and 237.
Does anyone wish to have any bill removed from the list? Representative Nicholas.
Thank you. I'll move House Bill 210 from the list, please.
210 is removed from the list. Anyone else? The reading clerk will read the bills.
House Bill 11 from the Education Committee, an act relating to study of distant education for informing recalibration of the Education Resource Block Grant Model, be it enacted by the State of Wyoming. House Bill 197 from Representative Edmonds, an act relating to motor vehicles, be it enacted by the State of Wyoming. House Bill 212 from Representative Lloyd Larson, an act relating to workers' compensation, be it enacted by the State of Wyoming. House Bill 233 from Representative Summers, an act relating to banks and banking, be it enacted by the State of Wyoming. House Bill 237 from Representative Moniz, an act relating to water and sewer districts, be it enacted by the State of Wyoming.
Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the House? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel. Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
aye.
Greer,
aye.
Halverson,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jennings, Kasparik, Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Larson Lloyd,
aye.
Larson Dan,
aye.
Lindholm,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Blauk,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Pelkey,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Piperinen,
aye.
Pennell, Reeder,
aye.
Schwartz,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Steinmetz,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Walters,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan,
aye.
Swanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 60 aye. As to House Bill 11, are there any changes? Madden, aye to no. Gay, aye to no. Burkhart, aye to no. Croker, aye to no. Edmonds, aye to no. Lindholm, aye to no. Miller, aye to no. Reeder, aye to no. Are there any other? Blackburn, aye to no. Larson Lloyd, aye to no. Harshman, aye to no. Laux, aye to no. Nicholas, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 47 aye, 13 no. As to House Bill 197, are there any changes? Byrd, aye to no.
Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 no. As to House Bill 212, are there any changes? Are there... Wilson? Aye to no. Are there any other changes? Edmonds? Aye to no. Are there further changes? The vote is closed. 58 aye, 2 no. As to House Bill 233, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 60 aye. As to House Bill 237, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 60 aye.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bills 11, 197, 212, 233, and 237 have passed the House. Representative Jennings.
Mr. Speaker, privilege.
Please proceed.
In our South Gallery from the North County, our two teachers from our junior high and our high school, Kevin Reiser and Darren Johnston.
We're now on that order of business of bills on third and final passage. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 158. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 158 from Representative Blackburn, an act relating to child custody and visitation, be enacted by the state of Wyoming.
House Bill 158, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
No.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger. Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
No.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
No.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
No.
Dayton.
No.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
No.
Gay.
No.
Greer.
Aye.
Halverson. Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Kasparik,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Larson Lloyd,
aye.
Larson Dan,
aye.
Lindholm,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Pelkey, Petroff,
Piperinen,
Pennell, Reeder, Schwartz, Summers, Steinmetz, Stubson, Throne, Walters, Wilson, Winters, Zwanitzer Dan, Zwanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker, I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 49 aye, 11 no.
House Bill 158, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 158 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 201. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 201 from Representative Larson, an act relating to public funds, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming.
House Bill 201, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen,
aye.
Baker,
aye.
Baldwin,
aye.
Barlow,
aye.
Berger,
aye.
Blackburn,
aye.
Blake,
aye.
Burkhart,
aye.
Byrd,
aye.
Campbell,
no.
Kennedy,
aye.
Clem,
aye.
Connolly,
aye.
Dayton,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Edwards,
aye.
Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
aye.
Greer,
aye.
Halverson,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey, Hunt,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Kasparik,
aye.
Kirkbride,
no.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
no.
Larson Lloyd,
aye.
Larson Dan,
aye.
Lindholm,
no.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Patton.
No.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Pipirinen.
Aye.
Pinnell.
No.
Breeder.
Aye.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Walters.
No.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 52 aye, 8 no.
House Bill 201, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 201 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 210.
House Bill 210 from Representative Dan Swanitzer, an act relating to the Office of State Public Defender, be it enacted by the State of Wyoming.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to move House Bill 210 to the bottom of the list. There's an amendment coming out. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 243. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 243 from Speaker Brown, an act relating to crimes and offenses, be it enacted by the State of Wyoming.
House Bill 243, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen. Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Greer.
No.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
No.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Yagi. Jennings, Kasparik, Kasparik, Kirkbride, Croker, Crone, Larson Lloyd, Larson Dan, Lindholm, Lockhart, Laux, Madden, McKim, Miller, Moniz, Nicholas, Nicholas, Northrup, Patton, Paxton, Pelkey, Petroff, Petroff.
Aye.
Pipirinen.
Aye.
Pinnell.
Aye.
Reeder.
Aye.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Walters.
No.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Gay. Aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 55 aye, 5 no.
House Bill 243, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 243 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 14. The reading clerk will read the file.
Senate File 14 from the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to the Wyoming Controlled Substances Act, be it enacted by the State of Wyoming.
There are amendments. We're going to take the amendments in the opposite order, reverse order that they're numbered. So we'll consider third reading amendment third, third reading amendment number three first, third reading amendment number two second, and third reading amendment number one third. We're on third reading amendment number three to Senate File 14, Representative Crone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number three and ask for its favorable approval. As we discussed Friday, this bill fundamentally changes forfeiture law in the state of Wyoming, a law that's been in place for over 30 years. And what we're dealing with is basically a mixing of standards. You're mixing a criminal standard with a civil standard, and we're putting them together in the existing language in Senate File 14. And in order for, basically, in order for the state to proceed, there has to be a felony conviction, and there has to be a that conviction has to be of record, and then the forfeiture proceeding would proceed. And I certainly understand there was a lot of work put into this bill over the interim, and there was quite a bit of work put in by the representative from the center of the state. But I would say that there's nothing wrong with the existing law, and if the and in fact. It's been working well, and it's been benefiting law enforcement, and it's been benefiting communities across the state in the sense that they receive these proceeds from criminal activity. And so if the a major concern is, well, there's not a high enough standard moving forward in these civil asset forfeiture proceedings, then that's what this amendment tries to address. And what this amendment does is once again separate the process out. So it goes back from, instead of making it a criminal forfeiture that requires that felony conviction, it separates it back into a civil and back into a criminal dual-track procedure. And as a result of that, right now the current standard is a preponderance of the evidence. And if members of the body don't feel, and that's more likely than not, that's one of the lower standards in the law. So if the body does not feel that that's a high enough standard, that's what this amendment addresses, and it raises it to the next highest standard, clear and convincing evidence. So you have to present to a court in a civil proceeding that there was clear and convincing evidence that the proceeds of this transaction were related to criminal activity. And it raises the bar. And that is more appropriate than having the existing language that says it's beyond a reasonable doubt. You have to have a criminal conviction to proceed. I just think we're looking at Senate File 14 as it exists, the language as it exists right now, is searching for a problem. The problem does not exist. And if you're going to set the bar so high that in every single case you have to have a felony conviction, this bill right now does not apply to misdemeanor forfeitures. So we're going from something that's working in the state of Wyoming, which the testimony is in committee and the debate on the floor is it's working. There's not a problem with this. This is not being abused. To an extreme, moving it to a standard that's far, far above what's appropriate in civil law. So what this amendment basically does is separates the two procedures and raises that standard. Raises the standard from preponderance of an evidence, more likely than not, to clear and convincing evidence. So I would urge your support of the amendment. Thank you.
Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would urge you to resist this amendment. Basically, what this amendment does is it takes your property and it finds it guilty, and you have to prove its innocence. And that's what it's saying. If we look down here on line number 28, line number 28 says this, the proceeding and judgment of forfeiture shall be in the rem and shall be primarily against the property itself and shall be in accordance with the Wyoming Rules of Civil Procedure. Upon clear and convincing evidence that property subject to forfeiture was used in violation of the Wyoming Controlled Substances Act. And again, basically what this is doing is it's saying your property is guilty, it's on trial, and now you have to prove its innocence. Well, in America, we have this thing called you're innocent until proven guilty. And what we're doing is we're taking an object and we're putting an object on trial. To give an example, let's say this. I live up in coal country, and let's say I was coming down to the legislature, and I had $3,000 that I was carrying with me. And I got pulled over, I was speeding, and the police officer asked me, well, how much money are you carrying in your vehicle? Well, I could tell him, you know what, it's none of your business, and he might get upset with me and proceed to do a search and find that $3,000. And he might say, well, son, where are you going? I might say, well, I'm heading toward the Colorado border. And he'd say, well, what for? Well, I'm on business. And all of that would be true. And I could be resistant that way, and I am kind of resistant when it comes to things like that, especially if I feel that it's none of their business. And what he could essentially do then is determine through his investigation that my money, that $3,000, was going to be used for buying drugs in our state south of us. And he could take that money, and I would have to prove that money's innocence, that it wasn't going to buy drugs. Now, is that fair? Is that just? And folks, this isn't an uncommon example. This does happen. It happens in many states who have civil asset forfeiture. So again, I would ask you to resist this amendment. This bill is a good bill. This basically says, you know what, we're not going to take your property until you are proven guilty. You are innocent until proven guilty. And that's the way our system should be. Thank you.
Representative Croker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm on and against this amendment, and I would like to point out that the title of the bill we're looking at is Asset Forfeiture 2, and that is because during the interim we looked at multiple options, and one of the options that we looked at was changing the standard, and as a committee we felt it was much better to go in the direction that we did. I also want to point out that this won't change the proceeds. The proceeds will still go to the same places they're going now. This only changes the process for how a person is convicted. We've heard that we haven't had major abuse of this law, and I, again, do want to praise our law enforcement and thank them that they are not abusing what is a bad law. But I would remind the body that we don't know who's going to be wearing that badge a generation from now or two generations from now. And so I believe it's our duty as a legislature to get the laws right and make sure that we don't have a bad law on our books that is an abusive law. One thing that I've noticed, when we hear the reasons why we shouldn't pass this bill, we hear all these interesting scenarios where you'd almost think the sky was falling. You know, we're talking fire and brimstone, cats and dogs living together and all that. But you'll notice that at the end of those scenarios, they always say, if this happens and this happens, but the last thing they say is, and we don't have any evidence to charge him with a crime, we wouldn't be able to keep that money. Or, well, we know that he's going to use it on something illegal, but he hasn't done that yet, and we wouldn't be able to keep that money. And I want to bring up, recently during a debate, a question was asked that was something along the lines of, what is the proper role of government, what is the purpose of government? And I thought this would be a good time to look at that, because our founders addressed that in the Declaration of Independence. There's the quote that I think most of us can quote by heart, that all men are created equal and are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, among which are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But the key is the phrase that comes next, and that is that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. So according to the document that founded our country, the purpose of government is to protect the rights of its citizens. And we saw that play out as our next founding document was put in place, the Constitution. They attached a Bill of Rights to it. In that Bill of Rights is the Fifth Amendment, which guarantees the due process of law, the Sixth Amendment, which is the right to a jury trial in a criminal case and the right to have an attorney represent you, and the Seventh Amendment, which gives you the right to a jury trial when you're sued, if the amount is sufficiently large enough. If we proceed with this amendment, all those protections go away. And to me, that's not right. To me, if we can't prove a crime against somebody, if he hasn't spent the money on something illegal yet, the government should not be able to take that from a person. That is not protecting a citizen's rights. It's not appropriate to say, well, if he's charged with a crime, he gets an attorney, he gets a jury trial. If he's not charged with a crime and the government is just going to take his money away, he doesn't. If he wants an attorney, he has to pay for that himself. Oftentimes, the amounts taken from people are so small that it would cost them more in attorney fees than the amount that they're fighting. I'm of the opinion that what we need to worry about, the sky is falling scenario that might come up, would be when we as a body say that we deny the Fifth, Sixth, and Seventh Amendment to the rights to an individual. That's the scenario I'm worried about. When we say that it's okay for the government to take away its citizens' possessions without having to have that bar of clear and convincing of guilt beyond a reasonable doubt and charging them with a crime. If we're going to take away a citizen's property, they should be charged with a crime. So I'm in support of the original bill against this amendment, and ask that you would vote likewise.
Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. A couple different things. Number one, the system is not perfect, and I know of multiple situations where law enforcement has abused their power. I'll give you an example. We're working on a case in Fremont County, and they were charging him, particular person, with poaching. So they went and confiscated a couple of his rifles. And he came to me 2 years later, and he said, I need my rifles back. And we filed motion after motion with the court. They just didn't give them back, year after year after year after year. And their argument was no ongoing investigation. Well, I said, in front of the court. I say, show me what the ongoing investigation is. They wouldn't do it, but the court, working with law enforcement, just wouldn't relieve them. And 5-6 years later, finally, after thousands and thousands of dollars in attorney's fees, we finally got those rifles back. And that was just an abuse of discretion, and it just was. Let me give it another example. I had a client who had a handgun stolen from his home. And 2 years later, there's an incident involving a shooting from a highway patrolman down in the middle of the state. So they call him. We say, we found your handgun. This year's, yeah, it was stolen. He spent 6 years trying to get that handgun back, long after the case was disposed of. And finally, after hunting down and tracking down, they said, well, actually, your gun's been destroyed. So they knew he had the gun. It was in evidence. The case was over. And what did they do? They destroyed it. Now, let me give you another example. A gentleman got pulled over traveling through Wyoming not too long ago, pulled him over, and it was, you know, they have those schemes now that if you got a foreign license plate, and if you look a little suspect, and if you don't use your turn signal, and you're passing someone on the interstate, that's grounds to pull you over. It's selective targeting, and it exists, and they do it. So that happened in this instance, and what did they happen? They found $20,000 in the vehicle. $20,000 is confiscated. Wasn't charged with any other crimes. This gentleman went back to Florida, and 10 months later, the Wyoming AG downstairs sent a letter and says, if you forfeit the money, we won't prosecute. Didn't happen. And then 2 months later, we find out there's a letter from the AG to the law enforcement saying, we can't keep this money. And, you know, they know about this stuff, but you hear about it on the floor here or in the other house during the debates. This system does have its problems, and they hide what does happen on occasion, and then they hide disclosing what happens about the information. So we just have to be careful, and we have to treat people fairly. If you're pulled over and there's no probable cause or reasonable suspicion to keep it, you got to give it back. In fact, we ought to have a statute that says we will guarantee you the return of your property. And it's our affirmative obligation and duty to return your property if we don't charge you and we can't prove a crime.
Representative Pinnell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm on and against or for the amendment for numerous reasons. First, I'd like to respond to some of the allegations where the money was taken. It took a long process to get it returned. And I did discuss this on the last debate that we had on the floor. That individual, when they got through the process, there was a problem with the procedure, and that's why the money was returned. They had problems returning it, though, due to the fact that that individual was under indictment for federal or felony drug distribution down in another state. So originally when that stop was made, you know, there was evidence to tie that money to drugs. And once again, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about drug money. We're talking about those issues that deal with narcotics. We're not talking about guns that were seized in a hunting incident or things of that nature. This is specifically to drug money. This is a lot of money that flows through this state. And sometimes when we make these officers, when they make these stops, they don't have the full evidence to convict the driver or the mule, as they call them, to actually indict that individual. He may have a small amount of narcotics on him, which would render him under a misdemeanor. And misdemeanor under the current way the bill is drafted, we couldn't seize that money. So I'm very much in favor of this amendment. It does bring a higher standard to as far as evidence, as far as seizing that property. And also it brings it in front of the court much quicker. And if there is an issue, if there's a problem, if the court sees that, it is immediately returned to the individual. So this does create this amendment creates a higher standard, and I would urge your support on the amendment. Thank you.
Representative Pelkey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Rising in opposition to this amendment and in support of the original bill, I understand we're talking about drug money, but there's one way to find out, and that is if there's a conviction in the case related to that drug money. If there isn't, then the standard, then that money should be returned. We can reckon, we can guess, we can venture to say that that's drug money, but there's no definitive proof in the absence of a conviction. There's such potential for abuse without this new standard applied, and I support the bill. This amendment, however, would would gut the intent of the original measure, and I urge your vote against it.
Chairman Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment. Again, this was an interim bill. We worked this bill several meetings through the interim. We came up with the bill that you see before us without this amendment, and it's a good bill. And it's protecting the innocent in Wyoming. That's number one. If for some reason we were to let a few guilty people go, but we protect a lot more innocent people, that's what we're doing here. Basically, for them to seize the assets, they have to be guilty. It's that simple. That's what the bill does now without this amendment. Basically, you know, we had a bill earlier to where it took away the incentive for law enforcement to do this. They don't get to keep the money, but we chose not to do that. This time, with this bill as is, without this amendment, they get to keep the money still. They get to pay for their training trips. They get to do their other things. They get to build a new building with those seized assets that hasn't gone through this body or an appropriation process. So on and against the amendment. You know, I can go on this one because I think this is a fairly big deal. And I'll just read one thing here. You know, what if you're innocent? Surely innocent people can't have their property taken. Not so. Being innocent does not mean that a state has to return your property. The Supreme Court of the United States has held that innocent owner defense is not constitutionally required. We need this bill. We need this bill without this amendment. Please vote no on the amendment and aye on the bill.
Anyone else for the first time? Anyone for the second time before the sponsor? Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I don't want to belabor the point, but I do want to make this point. Is it illegal to carry $1,000 with you as you're traveling down the road? Is it illegal to carry $10,000? Is it illegal for you to carry $250,000 in your vehicle? And should you get pulled over, is it right then for a police officer to take that money away because he suspects that you're going to use it to buy drugs? And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about being guilty of something, and we have to prove our innocence, which is not the way our country works. We are innocent until proven guilty. But what's happening here is large amounts of money, small amounts of money, are being seized, and the person is not being charged with a crime. And to the credit, it has had some success. But again, the last speaker really put it well. And that is do we want to protect the rights of all? And in so doing, yeah, I think there's going to be some people who are going to get away with things. Or do we want to put restrictions on our citizens and take away their freedoms in order that we might catch a few bad guys? And I say let's stick to the concept that our founders had, which is you are innocent until proven guilty. And so with that, again, I just want to clarify, I am opposed to this amendment, but I am for the bill. Thank you.
Chairman Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just again, just to clarify a little bit more, you know, the majority of the stops in this state where money is seized are for small amounts. And basically, if you want to get it back, you got to get a lawyer. So what's that going to cost? You know, it kind of makes a threshold. The examples I've seen, you know, $3,000-$4,000 is where you need to be before it's worth your time to get a lawyer to go after this. And, you know, just in one case that's been mentioned on this floor several times, I've got all the police records on that particular file. And, you know, I think there are some misstatements in here. I'm not going to use the word that begins with an L, but I believe things have not been properly done in this process. And then for them to negotiate a settlement for one-tenth of the amount of money seized and ask them to sign it and forever do away with whatever rights they may have, I think is just wrong. And then it turns out they couldn't do this anyway. And finally, the money was all given back. You know, again, I've read through this. I asked a question in committee on this very issue. I asked specifically about the vehicle involved. Was the vehicle seized? And the response was, well, we don't know who owns the vehicle. Well, in these documents right here, it says the guy they stopped owned the vehicle. So I don't get it. I don't think things are as clear as some may represent. So again, on and against the amendment and for the bill.
Anyone else for the second time prior to the sponsor? Representative Crone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think I need to begin by saying I think that dogs and cats can live together, and they can do it in a peaceful and in kind way. Members of the 63rd, I think that some of the debate today makes it appear that under this amendment that you lose some of your rights, and that you lose some of your due process, and that you lose an opportunity to be heard in court. And that is exactly the opposite of what this amendment does. You still have the right to counsel. You still have the right to go forward and say, this is not related to drug activity. I should have this property back. And what this does is raises the existing standard. It raises the existing standard from more likely than not to clear and convincing evidence. And sometimes you hear people talk about that, the burden of proof, and they use percentages, preponderance of the evidence, 51%, clear and convincing evidence, 75%, beyond a reasonable doubt, 99%, something along those lines. And that's not perfect. And to address the speaker from this county's comments, he's exactly right. The system is not perfect. The system is made up of people, and people make mistakes. And there are mistakes that happen in our judicial system. There are mistakes that happen in our legislative process. There's no question about it. It's not a perfect system. But yet you want to have a framework that's workable, and you want to have a framework that makes sense both in terms of the person that's accused, the person that's property seized, and also for the government's interest as well. And so to take this standard of preponderance of an evidence, of the evidence, and go to the very highest standard, the highest standard in under Wyoming law, beyond a reasonable doubt, in order to seize these assets that are contained for drug activity, I think goes too far, quite simply. And this amendment is not attempting to trample on the Declaration of Independence or the Bill of Rights or our Constitution. This is a way to assess it and to look at what's really fair. Sure, mistakes are made, but I would say that the process in Wyoming, and I think there's been plenty of debate and plenty of testimony, it's not being abused. It's not perfect, but it's not being abused. And to switch it from preponderance of the evidence to beyond a reasonable doubt goes too far. So I think this is a reasonable compromise. It's a higher standard of proof for the state to go forward, and I would urge your support of the amendment. Thank you.
We're voting on third reading amendment number 3 to House Bill to Senate File 14. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Third. Division being called. All in favor, please stand. All those opposed, stand. More than 10. Third reading amendment number 3 to Senate File 14 has failed. We're now on third reading amendment number 2. Chairman Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 2. This is just deleting the Standing Committee amendment. It was some simple corrections we thought the bill needed. As it turns out, it doesn't need them. So I ask you to kill the Standing Committee amendment by voting aye on this bill, on this amendment. Thanks.
Any discussion on third reading amendment number 2? Question being called. We're voting on third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 14. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Third reading amendment number 2, do you want a division on that? Third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 14 has passed. We're now on third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 14. Representative Crone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There's been a lot of great debate on this bill, and so I will withdraw this amendment. Thank you.
Third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 14 has been withdrawn. Senate File 14 having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger. Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
Harvey. Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Kasparic.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
No.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Paxton. Pelkey.
Aye.
Petrov.
Aye.
Piperinen.
Aye.
Pennell.
No.
Reeder.
Aye.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Walters.
No.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 54 aye, 6 no.
Senate File 14, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 14 has passed the House. We're now on House Bill 210. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 210 from Representative Dan Zwanitzer, an act relating to the Office of the State Public Defender, be it enacted by the State of Wyoming.
There is an amendment. Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Folks, I'd bring you third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 210, and I will remove this motion at the appropriate time. Basically, I'm deleting the enactment clause on this. And if you have this bill in front of you, I don't know if you recall what this is, but basically there was an amendment to this that came up in prior readings, which basically gutted the bill. And so the only thing now that this bill does is change language with regards to the division of the guardian ad litem, and it creates it removes it from a program within the agencies of the public defender to a division. And there's no real reason to do that, except the only reason typically that you do that is that by moving up to a division, that means you're giving greater responsibility, and you're allowed in the payroll mechanism to increase the pay for those individuals who perform those functions. So really, all this does is allow an opportunity at this time to increase whoever the division head is of this division within the public defender's office. Now, I spoke with the public defender's office, and I spoke with the attorney general's office, and I spoke with A&I. And they're saying there's no reason to do this. Why would a legislature bring such a bill if you're not increasing duties, if you're not changing anything, and you haven't been asked to do it? And so there's literally no logic to do it other than someone wanting to do it, and there may have been a logic before the bill was amended, giving additional responsibilities to guardian ad litem. And my understanding is any additional powers at all that this may give to a guardian ad litem, they already do at this present time. So the agencies are not asking for it, and there's no logic to ask for it other than to just change a word to from program to division. That's all it does. And I would submit to you there's no reason to pass laws when we don't need to. In fact, we've passed way too many laws during these sessions, and this is just going to be one more grammatical change in the green books. It all costs money and time, and we should be careful on the bills that we pass through the House. Thank you.
Representative Chairman Zwanitzer Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I wasn't expecting to have to speak on this bill today, and I thought it was pretty solid. And I was going to offer some pushback, but I guess I'm going to offer a lot of pushback now. First, let me tell you what the bill does once again, and I apologize for it being a 10-page bill, and you'll see that it changes program to division. That's something in the rules and regs that the guardian ad litem already has. It's in the rules and regs, and so when I opened up the statute, it just makes sense when we open a statute to clean up the statute, and I don't think there's anything nefarious or bad going on there. I was just trying to make it reflective, and so we can certainly take that out so we don't have to add another page to the green book for the word changing, but when you're in the statute, you try to clean it up. So what, if you have the bill in front of you, let me remind you again what the bill does on page 4, and you see we did take out a lot of the expanded duties that we were going after, or I was going after as the main sponsor of the bill originally, but it still does have guardianships and adoptions. And I know the language looks a little bit cumbersome, so let me just explain in the real-world sense of what the language does and what we're trying to do here. So what we're trying to do is facilitate a centralization of guardian ad litem services provided for in the state that currently through either the state or a county or a private attorney or a legal service organization or another group, you have a consistency in GAL legal services across the state. And so we're centralizing the statutes that all attorneys providing GAL services to children have the same skills, the same training, the same resources, and solely focused on the legal issues affecting children in the system. So under the current system we have now, not to, you know, denigrate any attorney, but sometimes the level and the quality of representation giving a child in the system might not be appropriate, and it depends on whether the attorney assigned knows anything about juvenile law or not. And let me tell you why this is important. It speeds up, overall, it speeds up the time for permanency of these kids. So under the current system now, we have a GAL system, and it provides services to kids in a neglect case, or a CHIN case, or delinquency, or TPR, but each one of these cases under our laws is separate and distinct. So, and this doesn't include adoptions or guardianships, which I'll get to in a second, which is what this bill now sets out to do. But often you'll have three or four GALs appointed for the same kid, a different GAL for each one of those cases. It wastes resources, it slows the time for permanency, you get a new GAL redoing what another GAL has already done. And this again depends on whether the GAL knows anything about juvenile law or not, or has had training in a specific area. So this bill, under the current language now, without the expanded language, it ensures that if you have a kid who has a really bad start in life, and these are the kids we're talking about, they get one attorney, and that attorney can oversee, whose attorney is competent in juvenile cases, who does this for a living, who's a full-time GAL, not just one appointed by the court who has a 95% caseload in criminal or a divorce. These are GAL juvenile-specific attorneys, and it can be now the same attorney, so if the kid has a neglect case and a TPR case and has their parental rights terminated, and they're in need of an adoption, this is going to be a really big, major case, but that at least says you can have the same attorney working on behalf of the kid, who's already traumatized, obviously, in the system, and it speeds the time for permanency and a full-time resolution for that child. And so while I would have liked to have expanded the program into, you know, adult guardianships, if the body felt this wasn't the time for that, at least the Judiciary Committee in the House didn't, I understand. But I do think there's some really important things still in this bill. I do think it's more than just housekeeping. It is a centralization of all the GAL services being in one place and letting the same GAL be in charge of multiple cases that affect the same child instead of wasting resources. And so I think it's a good bill. I think it's solid, and I would be happy to answer any questions on the program.
Representative Crone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment for the bill, I think that the good chairman did describe some of the substantive changes that this bill does, but I'd just like to add a few things. Under these cases, particularly in abuse-type cases in the juvenile system, you'll have a court, and they're fairly rare cases, but where the court determines after a certain period of time that the child's actually in custody, that it's appropriate for that the child to be transferred from the custody of their parents or parent into a guardianship or into an adoption. And under existing law, the guardian ad litem who had been working that case and had been involved in that case wouldn't have the authority to actually follow through on that guardianship or on that adoption. So that actually does expand the power of the guardian ad litem, which the committee felt it was an appropriate expansion because these GALs had been working on these cases sometimes for years at a time. And so that expansion is appropriate. But I also think it's important to note what was deleted from the bill. And that is the guardian ad litem being appointed in adult protective services cases involving abortion and the involuntary committal process. And I think that was appropriate to stop the bill where it stopped. It was too much of an expansion of of authority for the Adult Protective Services. It was too much of an expansion for the involuntary committal because those are separate and distinct proceedings from the juvenile cases. They're completely different in terms of what the standards are, and so that was appropriate. So to say that this bill is just a small bill that changes one word and cleans up the statute, I think that's not a fair assessment. I think that it does expand GAL authority. It expands it in an appropriate and responsible way in those juvenile proceedings where these GALs have been working with the families, with the child, and it is an appropriate expansion under the statute and statutory authority. So, and in terms of the Adult Protective Services or the involuntary committal, that should be a separate topic, and that should be debated within those statutes. So against the amendment and for the bill. Thank you.
Representative Gurr.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I'm a little out of my realm here, but many years ago I've been through this, and I've represented children all the way through that process. And I guess my question is, and maybe I just didn't get this or understand this, but there's no fiscal note on this, and it appears to me what we're doing is expanding the scope to the State Public Defender's Office and shifting costs and trying to develop another program with more depth. I'm just uncertain of this overall structure and what this bill does in terms of where is it pushing us. Are we shifting costs from the counties or from DFS over to the Public Defender's Office? We're setting up the division now. Are we trying to just set up, you know, just full-time attorneys that do this work? That's where I'm uncertain. And I don't understand, you know, because what we've got here for a fiscal note is simply there wasn't time to prepare it. And maybe if there had been a good fiscal note, I'd have a little better understanding. So I'm in support of the amendment, going to vote against the bill, primarily because I'm not very comfortable with knowing what it does.
Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. From my years on the Good Committee Number One, I have to gently push back at the last speaker because I believe perhaps he's unfamiliar with the history. A few years ago, we specifically moved the GAL program in to the Public Defender's Office to tighten it up, to give it a home, and to give it some direction. And all this bill does is follow on that process. It does not expand it. It does not create more work for DFS. It does not do any of those things. It's part of an ongoing improvement of the GAL program that this body began 4, maybe 6 years ago. And so let's not undo the good work that we did before. Let's continue to improve the program.
Representative Winters.
Mr. Speaker, thank you very much. I have had the privilege, actually, of working with a couple different GALs over the last couple of years because of the changes in my family, and I've had the opportunity to see how they work. And I am here to report that I believe they do a very good job right now. And I would say that sometimes when we get into the midst of creating legislation on this floor, we can actually take something that's working well and then tighten it down so much and try to refine it so far that pretty soon we have a highly specialized lawyer that in a place, a very rural kind of district like the one I am from, it's going to be very difficult to find individuals to fill those positions. Right now, what we have are individuals in different counties that, sure, do other areas of law at the same time that they do GAL work, but they do the GAL work very well. I've had the chance to watch that. One of the things that I'm concerned about, even if it's just semantics, changing the idea from a program to a division, just that word does mean something to me, at least. A program is something that a person that is non-specialized but has a lot of experience in can still participate in a program. A division begins to add more and more structures. The code word, it seems like around here, is more and more sideboards, to where now you have something so specialized that I think that it can go beyond where it actually will be most effective for our very rural-based state. And so I am for the amendment and opposed to the bill for those reasons.
Anyone else for the first time? Anyone for the second time prior to the sponsor? Representative Crone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just to answer some of the questions from the good representative that has a 2 and a 0 on his Wyoming license plate, and I don't know the entirety or the ins and outs of the system, but I can tell you that across the state, there's some guardian ad litems that's all they do. Their sole job is to be a guardian ad litem for the state of Wyoming. And in our jurisdiction, where we practice, we have a full-time GAL in our district, and we also have contract attorneys that do contract work in that district. Now, in terms of, and I think that's true around the state, I think that there's full-time guardian ad litems that are in this process, and there's also contract attorneys that pick up these cases. I think that in terms of the fiscal note, I would actually have a lot more concerns about the fiscal note if the section on page 4, 20, lines 21 through 23, and page 5, 1 through 5 had remained in the bill. I think that because that is a wide expansion of GAL authority, or I shouldn't say authority, I should say responsibility. That really expands what they would be doing. But with the expansion of the authority and responsibility on page 4, starting at line 2 through line 19, that's a really, really small expansion. And I think these people are working on these cases, and when you have the full-time attorneys that are working on these cases, it's not going to be a fiscal impact to the state because they'll just be continuing on with these cases. Just gives them the statutory authority to do so. So they're not going into new areas. My suspicion would be that the fiscal impact would be very minor with the added language in this bill. And in terms of the good representative from the county with the springs that are hot, his concerns, I really think that this isn't tamping down. I think that this is just a natural expansion of what they're already doing. And I don't think it changes their responsibility, doesn't change their training, doesn't change what they do. It just gives them an authority to follow up on those pretty limited cases where the court orders a guardianship or the court orders an adoption. So against the amendment and for the bill. Thank you.
Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a little bit more history in response to the good representative from the county with the hot springs. The counties were paying too much money for this process, and it needed to have, as we like to say, sideboards on it. And that's why we went through over a series of bills and years, moved the office into the public defenders. This was something the local governments wanted to reduce their costs in this process. So let's not get confused about whether we're taking something away from the counties or anything of that sort. The system we have in place now was specifically to assist the local governments, as I recall. And I'm emphasizing as I recall.
Chairman Swanser, Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And just to add on to that, that's correct in my understanding. This is really a win-win. I'll go through all my conversations. This saves money to the counties because they have a 75% state, 25% match when they have a GAL. So they hire a local attorney to be their GAL now. In just these cases, it's a little more expensive. And that's why we went to this public the system with a GAL being moved under the public defender. I talked about this in Committee of the Whole. It was originally under the state Supreme Court. We had 85, 90 contract attorneys, arguably charging a little too much in some cases, right? Supreme Court said not their authority. We put it as a budget footnote, which lasted for 3 years until we could find it a home. We found it a home in the public defender's office, for better or worse. They certainly didn't ask for it. I do have some concern when the bringer of this amendment comes and says that the public defender's office doesn't like this bill, because as you all know, we have an executive order where agencies shouldn't be discussing preferences, but I would submit that they never asked for it, and I guess if they don't like it, that doesn't surprise me. But that was a serious problem when, if we have elected official or state agencies commenting on legislation that they like it or not. And I do. I have made no lie against my thinking that the GAL program should be a separate, distinct entity. I thought that in 07. I've been thinking that for 10 years. And hopefully someday this body takes a step. But when I talk to the office, they think this is a win for counties because it saves counties money because they put it onto the state. But the state tells me they don't – I asked if they wanted an appropriation. They said no. They said the sheer example that they don't have to appoint two, three, or they had four different attorneys, GAL attorneys, for the same kid on four different cases, you know, last year, saying this saves them money. They can have one attorney do all this work, and they're not charging, paying hours for the same attorney to come and learn the entire case history of a kid. And so the centralization and the economies of scale from one attorney knowing the kid's history and representing them in multiple cases, the agency tells me they don't need a budget appropriation. And so I didn't put one. So it does save money to counties. According to the GAL program, it's cost neutral. It certainly depends, you know, how many cases each year in this state judges refer to a GAL, refer a kid to a GAL. So I can't come and tell you this will have absolutely no financial impact, but hopefully my testimony was enough to, you know, based on the number of kids in the system and the number of trials and the number of GALs appointed, you know, there could be a fiscal impact greater or lower every year, and it's really tough to estimate that. So hopefully I've kind of explained the history, explained why this bill is still important. Hopefully someday this body says maybe they really should be their own agency, because I guess it sounds like the public defenders really don't want them under them. The Supreme Court didn't. AG's office at the time didn't. So that was my hope with this bill when I expanded their authority to kind of, you know, encourage nicely for them to be their own entity someday, and that's still my hope while I'm in this body. So I'd ask you to defeat the amendment, vote yes on the bill, and move this forward. Thank you.
Anyone else for their second time before the sponsor? Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So just a quick rundown. The agency doesn't think we need it. The agency thinks there's no gap in coverage for these kids. The agency doesn't want centralization. It wants decentralization so the local counties can do it the way they want. I've been involved in these in the past, and guardian ad litem sometimes have conflicts of interest, so they can only do one thing and not another. But overall, they already do exactly what's going on here. And so the good representative brings a bill that they didn't ask for, and didn't get pre-approval, and didn't promote it. And so the question is, do you want the agency's agenda and the state's agenda, or the representative's agenda? And it really is that simple. And so I would move that you vote for the amendment and against the bill, and I would respectfully remove my motion.
Third reading, amendment number one has been withdrawn. House Bill 210, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
No.
Baker.
No.
Baldwin.
No.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
No.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
No.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
No.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
No.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds.
No.
Edwards.
No.
Eklund.
No.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
No.
Greer. Halverson.
No.
Harshman. Harvey.
No.
Hunt.
No.
Yagi.
No.
Jennings.
No.
Kasparik.
No.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
No.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lockhart.
No.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
No.
Miller.
No.
Moniz.
No.
Nicholas. Northrup.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Pieperinen.
No.
Pennell.
Aye.
Reeder.
No.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
No.
Stubson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Walters.
No.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
No.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Blackburn, no to aye. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 32 aye, 28 no.
House Bill 210, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 210 has passed the House. We're now on that matter of consideration of bills on general file. Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the House resolve itself into the Committee of the Whole to consider the following bills. House Bill 205, 222, 231, 208, 216, 144, 162, 50, and 220.
You've heard the motion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Chairman Madden.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I always wonder how I seem to land this job for the last day of general file. I recall a year or two ago, the majority whip at the time, who was somehow now been elevated to speaker pro tem, wrongfully labeled me as a curmudgeon. And You will find that in contrast to this label, you find me to be quite affable up here, if not outright pleasant, as long as things move right along. So with that, the Committee of the Whole, please come to order. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill number 205. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Yes, thank you very much. It just looks like a Norwegian bill. House Bill 205 from the Management Council on Act relating to revision of inadvertent errors, correcting statutory references and language resulting from inadvertent errors and omissions in previously adopted legislation, correcting obsolete references, specifying applicability, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman, the Committee Number 12, Rules and Procedures, to whom was referred House Bill 205, Revisers Bill, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Berger, Brown, Connolly, Greer, Hunt, Larson, Moniz, Northrup, Patton, Petroff, Stubson, Throne, one excuse, Representative Madden, signed by Speaker Brown, Chairman.
Hey, you've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Speaker Brown.
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill 205 do pass, and I would turn the explanation of the bill over to the Majority Whip.
Okay, Mr. Majority Whip, Mr. Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I bring you here House Bill 205 dealing with the complex and sometimes downright frightening world of typos. We go through the bill here. Mainly, this is just some corrections that are being made. When these concerned statutes were enacted, they were there were typos and little errors that were made along with them. So starting on page 2, line 11, is statute 16-3-204C should be 16-4-204E. And line 18 is 16-4-124 should be 16-4-125. Do you want me to keep going? I mean, but you'll see corrections on page 3, line 13, page 3, line 3, any should be an. Like I say, that's sort of about what this does. There's page 4, line 23, strikes school facility commissions, and that's actually department. Then we have statutory corrections on pages on line 2 and 18 of page 5, on page 6, line 7, on page 7, line 10, on page 8, line 5, on page 8, line 23, on, let's see, what else? Now, page 10, line 23, and page 11, line 23, strikes out subsection, should be paragraph, and that is the bill. So, I stand for any questions.
Is there any
questions? Or I would call for the question.
Question being called. All those in favor of Speaker Brown's motion on the committee of the whole rises to report it. Do so with the recommendation the bill number 205 do pass. Please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, no. House Bill 205 is passed committee of the whole. We're going to do another one. Okay. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 222. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 222 from Representative Pelkey, an act relating to sibling visitation rights, establishing visitation rights for siblings as specified, establishing procedures to allow a sibling to commence an original action to establish visitation rights with other siblings, providing a definition, authorizing courts to grant reasonable visitation rights for siblings when it is in the best interest of the siblings, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom is referred House Bill 222, Sibling Visitation Rights, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye. Representatives Baker, Escobel, Halverson, Croker, Crone, Miller, Pelkey, Pinnell, one no vote. Representative Winter, signed by Representative Miller, Chairman.
Okay, you've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Miller?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill number 222 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment. And the Representative Pelkey will explain the bill and call for the ayes on the amendment at the appropriate time.
Representative Pelkey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I brought this bill at the request of another member. It's one of his constituents and friends had repeatedly encountered problems in family courts around the state where siblings in broken families were unable to ask the court to allow visitation. And I think that's an important relationship between siblings, and this bill merely allows the court to consider what is in the best interest of those children and whether or not it is in the best interest to allow visitation between siblings who have been broken up. We deleted in committee lines 13 through 23, largely because that may have overbroadened the scope of what we intended to do. Language that we deleted touched upon those families where there's an adoption, and since those records are sealed, this would further complicate the bill. What we're merely intending at this point is to put into the statute an option for a judge to allow to call for siblings to be able to visit with one another and establish a visitation schedule if it's in the best interests of those children.
Okay. Does everybody understand the Standing Committee Amendment? All those in favor of Standing Committee Amendment number one, please say aye. Opposed, no. Motion carried. We're back on the bill. Is there a Committee of the Whole Amendment? Go ahead. Rob, Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. A little bit out of my area here, but one of my constituents has had a few problems with this in southwest Wyoming. And what we were trying to do is look out for the sibling visitation rights, which is the name of this bill. And what the main gist of this is, and I sure appreciate the bringer of the bill helping me out here and another attorney, we were trying to look out for the kids that kind of get caught in the middle of some battles between divorces going on, and we were hoping to, with this bill, look out for the visitation rights of these kids. And as you can see, the bill, after you've gone through some steps, it just doesn't automatically, well, we want to contest this. There's some steps that are needed to go through before you can ever bring this to a judge. And I think the intent of the bill is very good, and everyone in committee was pretty well in support. And trying to find the exact way how to do this, we still might be looking for that. But I stand in support of this bill and appreciate those that came and testified in behalf of this bill. So, thank you.
We have a Committee of the Whole Amendment. Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Folks, I bring you Committee of the Whole Amendment number one, and I would move for its favorable consideration. First of all, on a bill like this, I think you got to stand back and look at what we're doing and trying to figure out what the ramifications are from lots of different angles. And so my first question is, who's going to pay for the guardian ad litem for the minor child to get visitation with his stepbrother or half-sister? And what comes in my mind is, if you have parents who are being non-cooperative, then who's going to pay? Perhaps the guardian ad litem's attorney general's office would be happy to do it if they get additional funding. But other than that, one of the parents has to pay for it. And so that means we got to go get another lawyer to come in and represent the sibling, or one of the parents who is fighting with the other parent has to get an attorney for the sibling. And so that means it's going to be two lawyers against one, and is he really doing it for his benefit or for the child's benefit or to continue the fight? And so if you sit down and you start thinking about this, you're going, oh, it's a wonderful idea, but in practicality, are we really fixing anything other than more lawyers, more courts, and more problems? And my amendment doesn't really totally address that, but only partially, in that if you go to page two, I took out half biological brother or sister and stepbrother and stepsister. Because number one, I don't think a stepbrother and a stepsister have any natural right to hire an attorney to be with their stepbrother just because the parents have broke up. And so, and to have a guardian ad litem come do that, and then if you go back to what the power that the court then is supposed to use, it says that the visitation would be in the best interest of the siblings, and the rights of either sibling's parents or custodians are not substantially impaired. So what does it mean to have your rights substantially impaired? Does that mean that you have to drive the stepsister from Evanston, from one corner of the state to the other corner of the state because the sibling asked for it? On every Tuesday or three times during the summer, or let them. And then when the sibling goes to the other parent's home, who's fighting with amongst the grown-ups, then how does that affect visitation as a whole? And who's paying for child support and visitation during those periods of time? So the more and more I delve into this, the more I think about it, the more convoluted and more concerned I get about the bill. But at any rate, I think we need to treat siblings differently than we do stepkids and only half-biologically related. Because if you think about it, on the half-biological relation, it could be to the mom, it could be to the father, in terms of where they're getting visitation rights and where they're going to, and then they're going to another person's home, who perhaps if they're both remarried, they don't want that person, that child, to associate with their other kids. And so it gets more convoluted and more expensive and a bigger fight. So I just think we need to step back. We need to be careful. Wonderful idea. But let's kind of take it slowly and make sure we're doing the right thing. So I would hope you will support the amendment.
Any debate on Committee of the Whole, number one? Representative Zwanister.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Certainly against the amendment, and it's always interesting because I represent the same capital city as the previous speaker, but I have, shall we say, a different socio-demographic in my part of the district than maybe the previous speaker does. And so I see this a lot because I think we're all aware that families aren't the traditional, what we thought about 50 years ago. A lot of these families, especially the ones we're talking about in these cases, it's traumatic on the kids. And sometimes when you get blended families, you know, the stepbrother or stepsister is the closest thing they have to family when it's all going to heck and you get parents fighting or you get the second marriage breaking up into a third marriage or cheating. And the nice thing about this bill is it's totally in the authority and discretion of the court. And so instead of us making a decision here today, you know, we allow the court and the attorneys who have all the information and all the specific circumstances and situations and instances to say what's in the best interest of that child. And in some cases, if it is practical, I mean, I believe the court would take into account if there's a, you know, 500-mile difference between the siblings. But if it is practicable, then we're saying the court, you know, you can allow these things, that maybe the closest person of that child, when they're going through an entire traumatic upbringing, that their best friend and closest person is their stepbrother or stepsister. And so I'd ask you to resist the amendment and vote in favor of the bill.
Representative Pelkey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Speaking against the amendment, I'm a little struck by the broad swath this amendment cuts into the original intent of the measure. As a child, I had a half sister who is as close to me as any sibling would be. In fact, I'm sure, you know, she certainly felt the obligation to be as bossy as she could with me when I was growing up. And that distinction was never clear. And I understand in modern families, steps, siblings fill those roles as well. Again, it's important to see that this measure simply allows the court to use its discretion to establish that visitation when it's in the best interest of the children. I would urge you, this body, to vote against this amendment and for the bill.
We're on Committee of the Whole, Amendment Number 1 on this bill. Is there any further debate on the amendment? Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just another thought, and it's actually probably a more important thought. We just had a bill in here last week talking about religious liberties for kids in schools, about whether or not a 17-year-old, you can force him to go to school and or not. But boiling down to going back to fundamental rights of the parents. And so think about what this bill does. If you're in a situation where you don't want your child to go visitation at a person's home that you just divorced because he's not a good person or she's not a good person, and you don't like the stepchild that's over there, and you're the parent, and you're saying it's just not the right thing to do, and I'm the parent, and I should have the right to have let my child visit there only when he's visiting that parent's. Not during my visitation period, but if he wants to hang out with the stepchild or the child of another marriage, then, you know, you've got split custody, obviously, of those two kids. And so while he's with the other parent, he has those visitation rights. They're living together. But now we're saying, oh, no, you, as a parent, you don't get the right to make the decision anymore. The court gets to tell you where your kid's going to be on Wednesday night. And I'm just going, well, why are we taking away our rights to be a parent? Because one 10-year-old wants to hang out with a 7-year-old sister who happens to be living with his mother and visiting him on weekends. I mean, I mean, I think we're really infringing on our fundamental rights as a parent here. We just got to be careful in what we're doing.
Any further debate on amendment number one? Question being called. All those in favor of committee of the whole amendment number one, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No.
No.
I'm in doubt already. All those in favor, please stand. Now, all those opposed. Committee of the whole amendment number one fails. We're back on the bill. Are we ready for the question? All those in favor of Representative Miller's motion that when the committee of the whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that bill number 222 do pass. Say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No.
No.
Committee, or House Bill 222 is passed committee of the whole. Division being called. All those in favor, please say aye. Oh, there's more. There's more than 30 of you. House Bill 222 is passed Committee of the Whole. Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the Committee of the Whole begs leave to rise and sit again until 2 p.m.
2 p.m. Is there any committee announcements? Chairman Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number one will meet in 10 minutes in room H8 to consider the following bills, Senate File 13 and Senate File 16.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, will meet 10 minutes after adjournment today in room H17 to hear Senate File 32, Small Employer Group Health Insurance, and Senate File 64, Wyoming Health Insurance Pool Act Extension.
Chairman Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your Committee on Education number 4 will meet immediately after adjournment this afternoon to consider Senate File number 20, School Finance Excess Mill Levy Rebate.
Chairman McKim.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a reminder to everybody in here, to the body, that at 9 a.m. tomorrow morning, February 10th, in room H11, we'll be having pesticide safety program presented by the University of Wyoming. We'll have Lori Schaefert and Jeff Edwards will be presenting to us, and everyone's invited.
Chairman Zwanisser.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, will meet in about 5 minutes in room H18 to hear Senate File 49, Engrossed, Initiative and Referendum Revisions, and Senate File 53, Engrossed, Special Elections Time Limits.
Okay, Committee of Chairman Petroff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. May I please have privilege?
Go ahead.
Tomorrow morning, anybody who is interested in the Quebec One Peacekeeper missile tour, that will be 7 to 9 a.m. Please talk to me, and I'll give you the details. Also, this is the last week to order coins before the coins will be open to former legislators and then the general public. So there are a limited number. So if you really, really want them, pick up an order form on my desk. Thank you.
Any other announcements? The House will be in recess. Oh, all in favor of going into having recess, say aye. Opposed, no. We'll be back at 2 o'clock.